Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing tonight? Great, great, great. Several things I want to do, and I'm going to read a huge chunk of scripture to you tonight, so turn to John chapter 4. Not going to waste any time. Let's get to the good stuff. How about that? John chapter 4. Can anybody just right off tell me what John chapter 4 is about? Woman at the well. Woman at the well. That's right. Samaritan woman at the well, no less. I'm just going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through to verse 42. Okay, so it's a bunch. So let's go. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. And the little parenthetical phrase here says, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And then we also know that there was an even greater barrier than that, because Jesus was a man and she was a woman. Okay? Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone," everybody say everyone, "everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this..." See, it's a classic. Let's change the subject. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus said, "husbands, I would not recommend talking to your wife that way. Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, the one called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Don't you have a saying, "It's still 4 months until harvest"? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and the harvest and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, "One sows and another reaps," is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard it for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Now, there is about a dozen sermons. There's about a dozen sermons in there, right there. If not more. Probably more. But I had to read all of this so that we get context, because I want to focus on a few verses here at the very end. Okay? Jesus had this confrontation with this woman. Not a confrontation, a conversation. Okay? Although he was confrontational in that conversation, right? But when he made it clear to her that he was the one whom she was here had heard about, the Messiah, he said, "I'm he." "You're looking for explanation when the Messiah comes? I'm giving you the explanation because I am that Messiah." So she left. And what did she do when she left? You what? She went and told who? Her three friends? She told the town. What did she tell the town? "Come see a man." Now I want you to look at verse 30. Oh, I don't have my glasses. 30. It's at the bottom of the page. 39. It says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him." Why? Because of the woman's testimony. Here was her testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Who brought the believer? Who brought the people that became believers? Then they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said." See, they didn't say, "We no longer believe what you said." They said, "We no longer believe. We still believe, and it's not just because of what you said. Now we've heard it with our own ears, and we believe." But yet she did say it, and that's why they came. She said it. She had an encounter with Christ, and she had to tell people. Because she was faithful to do that, people came. They were able to have an encounter with Christ and then came back to the woman and said, "What you're saying is true, not just because I believe you, but because I have experienced it myself. And had you not told me, I would not have known. Thank you." So, where does that leave us for tonight? We had a woman's function this weekend. And I was there for a little bit, and I can tell you that Jesus was there. And I have heard stories that he wasn't just sitting in the back seat, in the back row. And I believe that there are some women who had an encounter with Christ this weekend. Going to need this one on. Yes. women had an encounter with. If you were a woman on that retreat, raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you. Don't get your hands up. Put your hands up. This is, I know it's a Baptist church, but we're a hand-raising Baptist church. It's okay. You can do that. Okay. So, if you did not have an encounter with Christ, you may put your hand down. Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. The rest of this time tonight is yours, because if you encountered Christ, you've got to tell the people.
Thank you, I'll start. She had our number, didn't she, ladies? From the first word that came out of her mouth. I don't know if you remember. It was a man.
'Thank you for breaking the ice, friend. And so, you did. You broke it. You broke it. Here's the deal. This morning, did I hurt anybody's feelings this morning? David, I hurt your feelings? Okay. Well, you got a choice. You can either get over it or do something different, okay? But here's the deal. I love what Fran said. Was it just a feel-good moment? Okay. Because, listen, emotions and feelings are a part of a spiritual relationship too, okay? What do you do with those feelings? And that's what matters. Great. Thank you. Who's next? Okay.
Okay, this weekend, Lana led our worship, and Saturday morning she sang the song called Blessings. And it hit the nail on the head. I've been through so many painful things in my life. And it said, something told me, let go. Lana, after breakfast or lunch, she came over, prayed over me, and I broke down in tears. And I ran to Rebecca, because Rebecca's been my rock through a lot of stuff here lately. And after she talked to me, I went and nailed all my to my chair, and I prayed to God, please help me make you my number one priority. And that's what he's been wanting to hear from me. I've even put him above my kids now, and that's what I needed to hear. He wanted me to make him my number one, and everything else will fall in place.
There were a lot more women that had their hands raised. And I know that I sprung this on you. I didn't give you warning. But the Bible says be ready in season and out of season. Come on, Liz.
I know that we all kind of get in the doldrums sometimes, especially spiritually, and I hate that. But I hate it because I know the devil's working on me when that happens. But I was really lifted up this weekend. Here a while back, Pastor Davis, these books called the Life Book, and we've had a case sitting in there that nobody, okay? But I've had many occasions to give these out, and everybody that receives them, they say thank you so much. I give them to the checkers at Walmart, and they all are so surprised but so thankful. And recently at a doctor's office, there was a little stack of these sitting on a table in the foyer. This is the way we can reach out. Just sit a little pile of them in your doctor's office. Because I know whenever I go, I'm always picking up something to read or, pass the time. This is a wonderful tool. So I have a box right back here. Not ask pastors, hand these out again because we have new members. But it's a very, very simple way of explaining salvation. And I hope that we can all become laborers and use this tool to reach out. I have the box right here.
Okay, let me tell you something about Vicky. I love her.
This is really out of my comfort zone. But I'm going to share with you. Thank you. Good. Everybody knows that I lost my sister recently. And I sat at home going through a depression. Or I thought I was going to let myself go through depression. And believe me, when I say this to you guys, if I talk about me, it wasn't about me. It's about what God has done for me. I put all my trust in Him while I was going through the loss of my sister. Because I believe He was the only one that could carry me out of that. I had people praying for me. But God was the only one really listening to me. Anyway, I would be driving down the road and I would start crying. I could sit in the house and I would be crying. But when I started crying, I would always say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then there's this song, which I love this song because it really helped me get through this whole ordeal. Listen, I really mean this when I say this. I did not go through this alone. God did carry me, and I want you to know that. No matter what our struggles are, God sees us through it. There's a light at every end of that struggle. But the song that I would sing, I don't even know all the words, is just a closer walk with Thee. And that's truly what I want in my life, is to have a closer walk with Jesus. So if anyone is out there that doesn't really have that closer walk and you think that you're struggling and that you're not going to get through it, and listen, I could have easily gone to the doctor and got me some pills to help me get through the depression, but I was not going to allow that. That is why I cried out to God to help me, because I did not want to go down that road. I've been down that road, and it's not fun. So I gave it to God. And I'm so thankful, because I would not have, I would not be here right now. And I know God has something more in store for me. And I am just, please pray for me. Whatever it is, I'm praying that I hear Him.
I'm going to try to make this fast because it's a very long story for me. This journey of mine started about 6 months ago. And this is something God has done to me once before. And he begins by telling me there's something big fixing to happen in your life, but he doesn't give me details. So this short testimony I thought was going to be, but it's very long. And I tried to put it on the computer, but it just would not get... It would not come out correctly. So as I'm going along on this journey, and then I'm not going to worry about the journey because I know that God has something planned big, and He's going to use my life for it. Well, back in January, well, actually still before January, we started working with the retreat, and the only word I got from Him was believe. No scripture came with that. No story came with that. Nothing. And for months I rolled on, and I kept telling Donna, I have nothing for this retreat. I have nothing from God on this retreat. I was very stressed. And so I just said, you know what? I don't know what to do. I don't have any idea. I told Donna, you've got to help me figure something out here because I don't know. January 28th of 2017, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer, stage 4. And... devastating. But it was a journey He wanted us to go on. So I couldn't figure out why until later that why I had the word believe. So this is probably going to get jumbled up here in a minute, so be patient, please. Thank you. As we're going along trying to get this together, I'm still just, I'm procrastinating with this retreat because I don't have a clue what to do. And I'm depending on my team that doesn't have an idea because I haven't given them anything. But they were gracious to me. And they love me. So during this time, I went to God to find out why. And so He takes me through Joseph's journey. Whatever reason. And I read Joseph's journey and I'm finding out that part of the reason that I go through his journey is because of the attitude that Joseph had in Christ. Regardless of his trials of his brothers and being lost from his family. Nothing like what my dad's going through, but I would say he was going through worse in his time. But his attitude was always of Christ. And then, once he got to be over Egypt and over the, you know, the dreams that he had, the famine and then 7 years of non-famine. But whenever at the end of that, his dad dies and his dad makes him promise to take him back to his homeland to be buried. And on their way back, the brothers are like, okay, he's going to deal harshly with us because of what we've done to him all his life. And when they send this message up to him, to get forgiveness from him. They finally, you know, in his dream, they said that he told him that you will be bowing down before me. And so they did. And he told him, he says, this is what he says in Genesis. And this is the last chapter of Genesis. He made me go through the whole thing to get here. And in verse 20, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve my people alive. That doesn't, I mean, that, it relates to me and my dad because God says his story's not over yet. And I don't know, a lot of you don't know my dad, but Pastor knows his passion for his people. And this is what God has told me, that my dad's desires for his children and for his grandchildren are to serve God, to be back in his presence. And I've been able to, through this, God has showed me how to believe in him more, how to really put my faith in him. And I've been able to minister to my dad, which is something I've never done. It's been a blessing to me and to him and to my mom. And I told him last night when I got back, went over to his house, and I said, "Dad, the only thing that God keeps telling me about you is that your prayers are going to be answered. Your children are coming back. Your grandchildren are coming in, and they're going to follow the Lord." I said, "So you don't keep praying. You keep on believing that God is going to answer your prayers, and that he is going to fulfill your desires, whether you are still here when you see it or when you're gone. So you keep on praying for them babies because they need you and they depend on you, and that's your job. That is your job."
I think he stayed longer than what he said he did, because his message this morning just fell right in there. The singing this morning just fell right in there. Just great follow-ups to what we had this weekend. And as Sherry was talking about not giving me a scripture, and when I do the morning devotion booklets, and I kept putting it off because we wasn't getting the word, we weren't getting the scripture. And I thought, okay, it's coming down to the wire. But as Sherry had said earlier, it's just depending on God and waiting. And one of the things that I learned this weekend was waiting. It's okay if you don't get everything organized way ahead of time. It's okay that maybe some things are last minute because we're waiting. But it worked. And because everything was not organized to the minute, God was able to work. It was organized so that we could have it, but yet there was a lot of freedom. Thank you. A lot of freedom to do. And the speaker was basically saying the same thing with her message, that she had to wait and wait. And when she finally got it, it was just what we needed. And it wasn't just one word. It just fit everybody, I think. And I think there were 26 of us. Okay. So her word, I think, hit everybody and where we needed it. And it's just okay to wait for the Lord.
I'm not going to force anybody. I'm just saying, you know, it's good to be obedient.
I'm closing up shop once or twice. I don't need a mic. Okay. I thought about, I really liked what the speaker said when she first stood up. Because she did not use the mic. Because she said she was born with her own. And I thought, I need to go with that. You know, my daddy used to call me the loudmouth frog. And I'm kind of at this point where I just ask myself, where do I start? You know, how do you pick out one thing about the event when there was something to be had and something to share and something that happened that was special every time? And I think I really just kind of shared in general that for me, the most precious part of the whole time is that it was unscripted, that there was freedom. There was freedom like I don't know that I've ever seen at an event like what that we have done, that the Spirit was free to move, and that even after the Saturday morning session, it was clear that people were not through worshiping. And so it was free time, but many women spent their free time in the room worshiping, and we just continue to play. Fran played a little while, and I played a little while. Sometimes people sang, and sometimes they didn't, and sometimes they prayed, and they prayed together, and it was just a beautiful time. But in the last, I think it was the last session, she did this thing where she just gave a lot of verses that are familiar verses, and she said, ladies, you need to remember, these are verses you need to know. And as I realized, as I was writing them, I thought, I know that one, check. I know that one, check. I know that one, check. But here's what she said, and especially before she said the first one. It's the most well-known verse of the Bible, John 3:16. And she said, and the problem is that it's so well-known that we don't even know it. Does that make sense? We know it, but it's lost its meaning. And one of the things I like, I have a bilingual Bible, and so I like to read it in Spanish and in English. And sometimes I become so overwhelmed when I read the Spanish Bible because I don't have the luxury of skipping. I have to read every word, and I have to think about every word, and it's new to me again. But as she spoke to us, John 3:16, this is what she said. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son. And I began to write. And now her encouragement to us is that, ladies, every day you need to say that to yourself. God loves you. God loves you. God has a plan for you, Jeremiah 29:11. And she went on. But what the Lord said to me during that time, God loves you, I began to write down the names of my students. And you know what? It wasn't the names of the students that I like. It was the names of the students that get under my skin. Name of the student that on Friday I looked at him and I was like, really? Again, you don't have a pen. Again, you don't have a piece of paper. And I wasn't very nice to him on Friday. I said, do you ever hope to have a job? Yes, ma'am. Son, do you ever hope to keep that job? Anyway, I won't tell you that story. Just say I wasn't very nice. And I wrote his name on the paper because God said, Rebecca, he doesn't know that I love him. So that was my conviction. And so I said, Lord, I could fill the pages of this journal with nothing but the names of children that need to know that Jesus loves them. And so my takeaway and my challenge was, Rebecca, on Monday morning, when that little girl who is mean as the devil himself, I mean, I just kind of curl up. I just recoil. I don't want to be close to her. I don't want to love her. I'm going to have to tell her tomorrow morning, Justice, Jesus loves you. God loves you. I don't know how she's going to react. I'm not going to be responsible for her reaction. But I'm responsible for telling those children they are loved. And I am responsible for being love to them. Even when I don't feel like it. And that's when the Holy Spirit works and moves. So Holy Spirit, fill me tomorrow so that I can love the children who are unlovely. So that when I say to them, God loves you, they'll believe it because they see it in the way that I treat them.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing. One thing that the lady at the well, the people had not heard their conversation. So she had to go tell people, I had this conversation, had this encounter. You're not going to believe the things that he told me. You're not going to believe the things that I learned about this man I believe is the Messiah. You got to come see him. And they came. And they came. So, ladies, there are lots of people in this room. Lots more people in this church. There are lots of people in your social circles. that we're not there at that ladies' retreat this weekend. They need to know. They need to know what the Lord said to you this week. The rest of us, we're not off the hook either, though. If you were here in church this morning, you heard a word from the Lord. Not sure if it had anything to do with the words that I spoke or not, but if you were listening, you heard a word from the Lord. Tonight, you heard a word from the Lord. What are you going to do with that? If you had an encounter with Christ, you've got to tell. You've got to tell. And here's the deal. It doesn't have to be some grandiose, well-scripted thing. If nothing else, it could be as simple as, you've got to come to my church and listen to the big ugly guy on the stage tell you about Jesus. I'll tell them. I will tell them. The field is what color? And what does that mean? It's not a racial thing. What's it mean? It's ready. It's ripe. It's ready to be brought into the house, to the storehouse. But the laborers are few. May he find us ready to labor. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time tonight. I thank you for the testimony of some of these women, Lord, that were unprepared, did not know ahead of time that I was going to ask them, but we're ready to just say, look, this happened, and I can't just be silent about it, and I've got to tell. Lord, thank you for their boldness, and I pray, Father, that there be others that were encouraged by that, and that all of them would be encouraged to go out of this place and say, you have to hear what happened to me. You've got to hear what happened to me. Father, help us to be so bold in Jesus' name.